Hey guys, in this episode, Nicole and I, along with our guests, continue our conversation discussing how we can combat racial stereotypes and how we can affect change in our country. Welcome back to The Singapod.
Really thank you guys for sharing so openly about your personal experiences and dealing with racism. And I guess the question now is, how can we affect change here in Singapore? And maybe like the first place to start is really having open and honest conversations that we are having now. Mm. And I want to know what you guys think about also maybe why some people feel it's so uncomfortable to talk about race. Yeah. Anyone
I
wanna...
have a lot to say, but Kai is one of the Kai's.
One of the Kai's can go first.
Bro, you go first lah, bro.
I guess I have to say that I'm very thankful that I have Chinese Singaporean friends around me who are very aware of the issue and the privilege they have, and they also use that privilege to voice their concerns and help educate their fellow peers. So having conversations around this topic is very important. Being aware of the privilege you have is also very important, and not being ignorant to whatever's happening around you lah. I feel like it's exactly this kind of mindset and activism that we need from the racial majority if we want to see any form of progress.
Mm.
Like to use whichever platforms they're comfortable with to lend a voice to the minority, and to use a privilege that they were born with, not in any fault of their own, but it's because of society, to use this privilege that they're born with to benefit someone else apart from themselves. So like for every person like me who has like a support system that is self-aware and proactive, there are also like 10 other people from racial minority groups who have no Chinese Singaporeans around them who recognize this privilege and are doing something about it. I mean, they could just be ignorant, or like they just don't want to feel uncomfortable. That may be like the reason why they don't want to start a conversation about it, and they just like sweep it under the rug so that they can feel better about this like multiracial, multi-religious, harmonious society that they've been living in their whole lives. So whatever the case, it is these racial minorities that feel most alone when such a problem like this is so pervasive in our society. And then when they feel alone, what will they do about it? They'll go back to their community that they feel comfortable in and discuss it with their peers who also feel the same way, who also lack this support. And then what happens? We just have like a huge echo chamber of people whose problems are turned on deaf ears just because the Chinese Singaporeans around them refuse to acknowledge their privilege, or they don't know like their privilege and just don't do anything about it. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, just adding on to what Kai said. And sometimes this this echo chamber effect, it becomes it leads to a gap in rationalizing certain issues, and mm. these pent up frustrations and anxieties, they are not expressed well or right or well enough in the right manner lah. So for example, like the Malay community are aware of the fact that they are often portrayed unflatteringly or disadvantaged by the government in one way or another. So naturally, they will feel shortchanged by all of this and are more critical of the government and the policies and whatnot. So for example, with the recent circuit breaker measures, it's obvious that this year's Hari Raya affair was a much more subdued one.
Yeah.
And not because of unfair or racist policies in place, but because of the threat of a virus. So, but I've read actually tweets and Facebook posts by members of the Malay community, crying foul about how the government are being racist and trying to quell Hari Raya celebrations in Singapore and whatnot lah. So, this is one instance where I'm talking about where education on identifying the kind of racism and discrimination is important, because it is a totally separate incident, and not only for the Chinese community, but education is important for minority groups as well lah.
I think just to add on that also, like I've also seen posts and like comments where people say like, oh, let's see what the government does if this coronavirus lasts until Chinese New Year next year. Oh, will they have the same like lockdown measures? Then like people will like reply with like, oh, I bet not, because the majority is Chinese. So like they're just missing the point here. Like I get that they're angry, but they're not directing the anger to something productive.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think it's maybe like there's already some discord there, but then it's like, but then this issue is kind of like different. But I guess it's also like kind of unlucky, you know, like Chinese New Year was so early in the year. And then I guess people would kind of see that. Yeah.
That's
interesting. Like, I'm quite glad. In the right manner, like, I feel.
Yeah, like, I'm quite glad there are people in the community who like recognize the fact that this circuit breaker like affects everyone, and it's not like the measures the government put in place are not racist at all, and it's to protect like the lives in our society.
Yeah,
I mean, I think for me, like when we talk about why people feel so uncomfortable, I think when I was younger and people brought this up with me, I felt very scared that I would be lumped in with those people who are like very overtly racist. So it's like it's something that I didn't want to talk about because I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm part of this like group of bad people now, you know. But I think also like the narratives in Singapore is like, oh, that we're multiracial and multicultural and we have racial harmony, and like it's so ingrained into us. And I mean, like, it's in our pledge, right? So like I think a lot of people, including me, like, that is such an amazing idea. Like, the idea of racial harmony is just like something that, like, I think who wouldn't want to live in a utopia where racism doesn't exist and everyone is equal and stuff like that. But I think instead of thinking that it's something that we should be striving for, it's actually something that we think we've already achieved. And I think it creates like this dissonance that like people are so uncomfortable with because it like goes against like what we were told kind of like growing up. Like, I don't know. Do you guys, I watched some CNA video about race, and there was this like Malay lady who's like, oh, I didn't know that like all these, like, even she felt like uncomfortable talking about race because it's something that she didn't think that was an issue either. Amo, do you have any, like, I don't know, can you relate to that at all?
Yeah, I mean, all of you bring up very, very good points about, you know, just confronting our privilege. And I think because I definitely have taken this time to really just read up and educate myself on everything that's happening in the world and really understand what's happening. And I'm reading a book right now called Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race. And within the first like 3 pages, they bring up this point of why would people want to be alerted to a system that benefits them, you know, even at the expense of others. And I think oftentimes when we tell our Chinese friends, hey, you have privilege, what they get, their initial response always goes to, oh, being defensive, like, oh, I'm not racist, I'm not this, I'm not that. It's great that you're not racist, that's fantastic, I'm very, very happy for you. But I think, you know, as a society, you know, and this word has been put across social media almost every day this week, to be anti-racist. So it's saying, I am not racist, and I will also make sure that my minority friends or anyone that experiences any form of racism is protected, and I will be there to support them. And, you know, show out for them when they need to be. One thing I feel like the majority, you know, anyone with privilege should do is listen, and really, really listen. Not listen to make a point after that. Not listen to then formulate a rebuttal to anything. Listen to your minority friends that tell you that, hey, you know, I've experienced this and it makes me very uncomfortable. Or, oh, you know, we both have the same, for example, like the same degree, but this job requires me to speak Chinese, when in reality, this job scope and, if you know, has nothing to do with speaking Chinese. You know, all your clients, for example, have to speak English. You know, it's an English speaking thing. So it's like understanding the pain that comes from that, understanding that you as a Chinese person, you know, you want, as much as Samantha, whatever that lady's name is, like, believes that you can choose your skin color, you can't. You know, you're just born Chinese, you're born Indian, you're born Malay. But just recognizing that you have this privilege and using that privilege to help other people who don't have it, like, it doesn't take away anything from you. If anything, it enriches you and, you know, allows you to be a better person in the world. And, you know, I think it's just being brave enough to, I guess, admit that within yourself and make that change. You know, social media is very, very important right now, more than ever, because that's the only way I found out about George Floyd. And it's the only way I found out about many, many resources that are available in the world. So don't like minimize that, but also try your best to go beyond that in your everyday life and see how you might be contributing to this you know, this environment where we allow like racism, no matter how big or how small, to continue in our daily lives. So call people out, you know, try to have conversations. And yeah, that's how I generally feel about
what's like, happening right now. It might sound like a daunting task to like, you know, keep on like speaking out, and like, it might sound very exhausting, very tiring to be constantly updated on the latest like resources you have. But every time you feel tired, just think about how tired like the minorities are, having been oppressed or having been like prejudiced against like their entire lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. I think on that note, like another way to really combat racism is kind of to change the way that we see each other, right? And the way that we talk to each other. And this means like combating things like casual racism and stereotyping. So I guess what are some of the microaggressions that you guys want to kind of get rid of, or something that's been like very particularly painful to you guys?
All of it.
Does anyone want to take that? Or something that you're,
I don't
like,
know. I just feel that I don't want to just point out like one specific thing that someone says about me, but I think just in general, you know, if a joke that you're making is rooted in like being about someone's race or religion or anything like that, just understand that that's not a good joke. It's a very like low hanging fruit in and of itself. And if, let's say, you maybe you're not aware, right, and you say something to someone, like let's say someone calls me a terrorist now, and they don't know that I am that's offensive to me or to anyone in general. If someone calls you out for it, don't be defensive. Be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry for being a dipshit, and I'm gonna be better and do better and actually do better after that. Because it's very hard to just like list everything. Yeah.
I mean, normalize changing your opinion on something after learning new information.
Yeah.
So yes, it doesn't make you lesser.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you decide to change positions because you realize that you are wrong, then that's good for you. When you know better, then you can also in turn do better. So there's no shame in, you know, dropping the ego and all that. Have the gall to take the backlash like a proper person. Don't change the narrative and hide behind excuses.
Yeah.
I mean, anti-racist activists should not have to make it easier for Chinese people to join the conversation. So saying that we non-racists should slowly coax the racist people out of their comfort zone is subtly saying that, you know, it is okay to have racist opinions in society. So, I mean, that's not cool. I mean, you can also confront the bandwagon effect. I feel like many, many Singaporeans often preach about how change and they express a stand and solidarity behind the BLM and whatever current trend of suffering they have in another country. But they don't show up the same energy towards the stuff happening in their own backyard with the minorities, for example. So, or the situation with the foreign workers. So when you ridicule or you don't pay attention to the harassment that happens all the time in your own country, you need to have Singaporeans that practice what they preach, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, I feel so strongly about that.
Go for it.
Yeah, because like I see like so many of my friends. Like, I'm not naming names here, but I see so many of my friends and like people on Instagram and Facebook posting so much about like the stuff that's been happening like recently. But one thing, I've never seen them post about anything close to the problem we have in Singapore. Anything about it. I think I'm going to say just now, the problems are not mutually exclusive. Like, you need to have enough bandwidth to care about both things. So looking to maybe the next 1 or 2 weeks, I really want to see more of my friends posting about the problems that we have in Singapore, because they happen like right in your neighborhood, and you cannot be blind to the fact.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like definitely we've seen a lot of people on social media, like because the moment right now is so much about anti-racism, and it's so much about, it's like, I think the death of George Floyd was just so unjustified, and everyone obviously rallied around that, like it was caught on video, and it's just something that shouldn't happen to anyone ever. I think the moment right now is that like everybody's like swept up in this emotion, and I appreciate that people on social media are bringing this back to Singapore. It's not the same thing, but it's the same problem. It's like the same. Yeah, it's not exactly. The same. Yeah, it's the same kind of racist sentiment that exists in your own society as well, right? So I mean,
like, if we're being honest, racism exists everywhere. It's just to what degree, to which community, you know? And I think it's just understanding that. And also, it's just, I was very iffy about, you know, people. There are a lot of people that called out Singaporeans for focusing on Black Lives Matter and then not thinking about, you know, what's happening in Singapore. And I understand that. But also, you know, I was talking to some of my friends and I was like, for me, you know, when we speak about what's like racism in the world and specifically America, there were two watershed incidents for me. The death of Trayvon Martin and then the death of Sandra Bland. And that woke me up to like, oh my God, dude, this like real, some real fucked up shit. And I ended up learning more about that. And when I started learning more about that and, you know, all these like violent atrocities happening across the world, I ended up also taking these things and applying it to myself and applying it to home. So for me, that happened in 2012. I'm not saying I'm an expert because I'm not. There's so much I need to learn, I need to do. But what I hope is happening, even with people, I guess, hopping on the bandwagon or, you know, trying to bring something up in this situation, is that at least one person from that, you know, whether it's the person like posting it or someone who sees it, you know, that becomes like a watershed moment for them to be like, hey, this is something, you know, I should pay attention to. Maybe I'm not affected by it, not just because, you know, I'm not in America, but because, you know, in my own country, I'm privileged and I have this position. But maybe this is something I should talk about and read more into. So, that, I mean, I think it's just coming with everything from a point of empathy and being like, yeah, you know, there are always going to be people trying to hop on the bandwagon. It's like outfit of the day, blackout post, and then like outfit of the day, which doesn't, like, I don't want to see a fucking outfit of the day right now, man. Like, it's okay. Mm. But if one person that saw that blackout post, you know, went to read up more and then was like, okay, this is something I need to pay attention to, then I feel like that's progress in itself.
Right. On the topic of self-stereotyping, I'm not, like, this isn't, I hope this doesn't come off as, like, victim blaming. I mean, if anything, it's, like, indicative of, like, our whole cultural hierarchy. But, like, I've seen, like, quite a few people from, like, minority groups, when they're speaking to Chinese people, they kind of make that offhand joke about their race, about maybe, like, oh, I'm this and this because I'm Malay, like, that kind of thing. I mean, I think, I don't know, do you guys think that this is something that, like, kind of all of us have to kind of, like, push back on?
For sure. I don't know. I feel like I get where you're coming from. It's like you come into a situation and make a statement about you and your race, right? And it's maybe it comes from a standpoint of, hey, before anyone does anything or says anything stupid to me, let me just make the joke and get it out of the way. And, you know, that could,
interesting.
Maybe that's what's behind it. Yeah, it's a very interesting thought that I definitely want to, like, look into more of why people do this. Because, I mean, definitely guilty of doing that too. You know, I have in situations, but it's really just to make sure that no one says anything even more stupid, not to encourage it. And it's definitely something we should stop doing. We shouldn't have to make racist people feel comfortable. Like, that's it, you know?
I do think that, like sometimes, like, it does come, like, I can tell that they're saying it to, like, build rapport with the people that they're speaking to, and it's, and yeah, so I feel like it should be some, like, I don't know, not that I would, like, come out and be like, no, you shouldn't say that about yourself, but, like, it's just, like, this social, interesting social situation that I've experienced before,
I think it also comes from, like, I don't know, maybe, like, I've done it before, so, but I think they want to be, like, more accepted into the group, maybe. Because, you know, when you're, let's say I'm the only, like, Malay guy in a room of 10 Chinese people. So, obviously, I'm already singled out because of my skin color. And then saying something like that would also bring me up to that level, you know, of equal standing. And sometimes when people say, when people say this, they don't realize the repercussions they have as well as a minority. So as a minority, if I say that, to a group of Chinese people, then they might think because I
it's
say,
okay.
then yeah, for them to say it to other people, it's okay.
Yeah. So I guess all these movements and all these things is really just to get a voice out there and get the, you know, policymakers and decision makers to really take notice. And I think, do you guys feel that there's enough representation of minorities in politics here in Singapore? And maybe on top of that, like, what more can be done to ensure that minorities have a bigger voice on the national level?
Wow, man, where do I begin?
Interesting. There's so many layers to that question.
There are a lot of layers.
Yeah, maybe you can begin.
Take your time.
Yeah, you can begin with.
Take it away.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure, there isn't enough representation in government in terms of policies. But I feel that we need to have more accountability, I feel, towards the things that are happening in Singapore. Like, time and time again, I've been brought up on this skewed idea of racial harmony and cohesion in Singapore. You know, from primary one until now, it's written in the back of our exercise books. It's on posters around schools. It's in our national pledge and everything. I mean, we pride ourselves in being a multilingual country, but with three mother tongues and whatnot. But I don't have to look any further than the comment section on the Straits Times Facebook page to know that that's absolute bullshit, lah. Yeah, people, you know, being blatantly condescending and downright racist, and others are egging them on with really screwed up comments of their own. Then you have racist government campaigns and media portrayals that is alarming to everyone but the majority Chinese community in Singapore. So by doing this, you're saying that racism is okay if it is systemic and it is put in law. And that's what sometimes set me off, is when this privileged majority, when you try to educate them and they take the moral high ground and start vilifying the racial minorities who react to certain situations. So in instead of confronting the reason as to why such a reaction is happening, they rather focus on the latter. So you can't expect the oppressed to be always taking the high ground when you step on them over and over again. You don't have to give the reaction towards a problem if you remove the source of the problem altogether. But what I'm trying to see is, like, for example, like, let's talk about the whole issue of having Malay people in the Air Force or systems or high ranking positions in the armed forces, for example. How is this still an issue in 2020, man? Like, how is our loyalty being doubted time and time again? Like, what more do we have to prove that we are loyal to our country, or like, they always claim that it's a matter of national security and all that, but how do we like, what more can we do to circumvent this issue? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the whole accountability of I feel like we should start taking accountability towards things people say on social media as well. Like, you have really screwed up comments you have on and very racist stereotypical comments on Facebook, Twitter and whatnot. But like, I feel that this is something that should be addressed and should be openly discouraged. Like, they shouldn't just say that, oh yes, racism is something that is present in Singapore, but, you know, let's not discount the fact that there are things that are happening worse in other countries. We should call these people out and say that, look, this is not right. The representation in media, look, this is not right. There is not enough representation. There is not enough right representation of minorities in media and whatnot. Yeah.
I think our system is kind of like, I mean, I think the Singaporean government is just very parental.
Correct.
And so, like, the way that, I mean, I think the way that people want to have conversations now, like, to have, like, open and honest conversations, or, like, to have discourse on things, especially like race, like, sometimes it feels like we're being babied. Like, oh, if you talk about this, it's like a Pandora's box that will just lead to,
exactly,
like, riots everywhere, you know. But like, I think it just, that kind of like just insults like the great education that we've been given in Singapore.
Exactly.
Like, you know, Singaporeans are not stupid. Like this is a conversation that we can have with other people without like destroying ourselves.
Yeah, and I think it's like Nick said, like, it's a little bit of an inherent fear where you're afraid of offending someone for saying the wrong thing and all that. But I think on top of that, like, I for one, sometimes I'm afraid of speaking out, and sometimes my thing is that, like, maybe it's not my place to say anything, or it's not my fight to fight. But I realize that I mean, if it matters to my friends, then it matters to me, because these are what is the difference between me and the person on my left and right. And I think this is definitely an attitude that we need to combat. That is just because it doesn't affect your way of life immediately doesn't mean it's not important to you, and doesn't mean you shouldn't speak out about it. Yeah,
exactly. It's always tough to disrupt the status quo. I mean, it's gonna get you in trouble at work. It might cause you to lose a friend. You are probably gonna be generally inconvenienced as well. But we have to speak out. It's better than not speaking out at all.
I think it's important for us to just take it a step further than just what we feel, and also just look at our systems and see where are these things, like why are SAP schools still a thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like these kind of questions. It's good to ask, it's good to discuss, and then, you know, see how we can make change. I mean, if we want to protest, we still have to fucking file for
a permit. So,
yeah, and
file for permit 14 working days before.
Yeah, exactly. And Nicole brings up a very, very good point about Singaporeans being able to express themselves without, you know, doing... I feel that if we had to have a sit-down conversation and really discuss it and be open about all these different elements to what makes up our system, I think we can have that conversation without screaming at each other, you know? That's definitely something that can happen. So it's like, it's kind of funny when you bring up, it's like you give us such a great education, yet you doubt the education that you give us to be able to you know, just articulate what we're trying to say.
There was a petition recently for racism and prejudice to become part of primary school education in the UK, and you know, we think this is a really good idea, and I know in Singapore we have Racial Harmony Day and everything, but you know, is that really enough?
Nope.
I think it has to be actively discussed in the classroom. Like, so I saw this post by my friend. He's he was a primary 2 form teacher, I think. So he did not have to, you know, discuss racism in his class, or like prejudice or privilege in his class, because it wasn't apparent at the age. Like at the age, everyone, like regardless of race, cliche. Regardless
language
of race,
the name of this episode.
So like everyone would just mix around, and there were no racist like remarks by anyone to anyone, right, at primary 2. And so he also like took like a primary, I think primary 5 or primary 6 class, and that's when he had to like, you know, begin conversations about race. So there's this gap between primary 2 and primary 5 where kids start learning about racism, and because they're not taught about it properly, and then they just use like racist terms and pass off racist comments thinking that there's nothing wrong with it. And I think it's a very important point that we need to start educating our kids about racism from a young age.
Yeah,
for sure. I think like kids have the capacity. I mean, we're not gonna be giving them like 10 like reading materials and books to, yeah, you know what I mean? But it's important to start somewhere. And you're right, you know, when you're a kid, I don't know, primary 2, maybe I didn't even know race was a thing, probably, who knows. But you know, after a while you do start, you know, seeing these things happen, just like Kai mentioned. And Racial Harmony Day is great. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed singing like all 4 like songs or whatever it is that our school did. But it never went beyond that. No one ever spoke to us about anything. And yes, you know, this like racism starts at home, but also we have institutions that, you know, give you, it's a safe space for everyone. I feel schools are definitely a safe space, and they should continue being safe spaces for anyone, regardless of your race, language, or religion. So you have to talk about these things in a, it's a safe setting. Talk about it to your kids, you know, and see where their minds are at. Ask them questions, get them to really like think about what they're saying and why they're doing things. Of course, there's still going to be people in the world that exist that are just shitty. It's okay. But if we have a space to, you know, educate and teach, for sure,
I mean, I think
continue
the
singing and all that. I think it's very fun.
Yeah.
But also talk about it.
Of course.
I mean, I think, I don't know if you guys remember, but I remember having like moral education classes. Like there's a period in school where like
they even had exams for it.
I don't even remember what it was about. You know?
What was, like, I had a purple folder for it. That's all I remember.
Yeah, no, yeah. I remember it was like a textbook, but it's kind of, it's like NE, it's like national education. Mm, like, you know, you learn about a bit about Singapore and stuff like that. But I think if that curriculum was like, had a section about race relations or like racial, not just racial harmony, but it's like how some people are treated differently. I think like kids are so impressionable, like that would be a really good place to start.
Yeah.
Right. They pick up a lot of things very easily from home.
I mean, as much as we know that, you know, kids spend about 8 hours in school, the other 16 hours are spent at home as well. So as much as the school has a huge responsibility in educating children and, you know, instilling the right values in them, parents do, and the family as well, do play a very large role in educating them. And this whole idea of racism begins at home. So we got to change that as well. Mm. This is what I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully if in the 8 hours they learn that you shouldn't be calling your friends names, and then they go home, and if they see their parents doing that, maybe the kids will call their parents out, and then it's like someone learns, like, but it's not the kids. So, you know, it's like it's a cycle, I guess. It's a good cycle.
Very true, very true. So we definitely need to have more conversations like this, and the more we do, the more we can better understand what others are going through. And Nick and I, we just want to thank you guys so much for coming on to the podcast with us this week to talk about such an important issue. And to end off, I guess if there's one message you want listeners to take away from this conversation, what would that be? And maybe Kai can start us off.
Kai, whichever Kai.
Yeah, whichever Kai.
Kai, go first.
Whoever unmutes first.
Okay. Wow, to sum everything up, okay, I think there's just maybe, instead of summing up, I just want to share this three-part tweet that my friend Moose tweeted from a couple of days ago, which I think is extremely relevant and something that I just want to share. So he says that there seems to be an overriding issue in how to translate what's happening in the States to our shores. So let's not discount on racism just because no one is getting killed, but also let's not overshadow their fight. So we have our time, we can also give them theirs. It's good that all these stories of underlying and casual racism are coming to light, especially from esteemed schools and institutions. And it goes to show how deep-rooted the problem is and how high it can actually go. So keep them coming. Let's shed light on all these crevices in history and society. But let's also not use Black Lives Matter or the protest as a reason to agree with your own concerns. Their fight is far worse and detrimental. This is their time. Let their voices be heard louder than ever, and their movements travel further than ever through us in whatever way we can. And also, let's also share our grievances and air our concerns in the right manner always.
Kayama?
I guess, actually, I'm very glad, Nick, that you reached out to me to do this. Like, I'm very happy that you guys are so open-minded to have these conversations. I think Kai and Anwar also share the same gratitude. It's exactly what we need right now, to have like Chinese people talking about it, because no matter how the policies change or no matter what like some other people might say, the Chinese people have the majority to change. Chinese people have the power to make the change that we need, like, that we want to see. Because you guys are the majority, so whatever you do will trickle down to the rest of your community, and that will also help like all the minorities here in Singapore. So I think the action needs to be taken by the majority for us to see any sort of progress, like even in my lifetime.
For me, I think I really just want to reiterate the point of just come at everything that happens over the next few weeks, years, whatever it is, with empathy, and really, you know, let's try to educate ourselves about what's going on. You know, we need to be able, like Kai said, to have the bandwidth to speak up about Black Lives Matter and also what's going on in Singapore and also what's going on in Hong Kong. You know, every part of the world, we need to be able to have that capacity to speak up about what's wrong. And, you know, let's keep having these conversations, and let's see how we can together, you know, make a difference, a real difference in our societies, and then also in turn help other people around the world.
Thanks for reaching part two of our conversation on race. We really want to thank Anmol, Kai Anwar, and Kai Nizam for coming on and speaking to us about such an important issue, especially during this time. If you have any other topics that you'd like us to cover, please email us at thesingapod@gmail.com. We'll see you guys in the next one.